Louis and I, when we left, we went on wings of love. We left the United States of America. We went to BOAC. And it was a marvelous flight. Because why? We were winging our way to our beloved. Ah, really sick in his physical presence again. What a joy. What bliss. And what ecstasy. And when we got there, we arrived. Dear Louis and I arrived in India on the 23rd of June, this year, 1974. We were picked up by dear Eileen Wigg and Edna Steinrock. And I tell you, it was very exciting to see the two of them there waiting for us. Beloved was not in Delhi at that time. He was up at his summer home in Dehradun in Rajpur. And we were very happy because Delhi at that time was 115. See? So we were very glad to be carted up in the mountains. We were very happy to leave Delhi. So first of all, we went to Kukuji's sister's house, Banji, and they had a wonderful morning breakfast for us. And then we went straight away off for Rajpur, where we arrived about 4.5 hours later. So we arrived between about 12 and 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and we were immediately ushered in to see the great God Guru, who greeted us with such overwhelming love. And the charges emanating from his physical presence twirled us into a sort of intoxication that is very hard to define in this worldly sense. We began to laugh happily like children. Why not? We're in the presence of our true father, you see? And he turned to Eileen and he says, "You are laughing," because Eileen is very stoic. She's very English and very severe at times, you know. So he says, he turns to her and then he says, meaning me, he says, "She brings laughter with her. She makes everybody laugh. Now you are laughing," you see? So we had brought some articles from the States, and Beloved said to us, he said, "You know, it will not be necessary for you to bring any more things." So Louis and I looked at each other. We thought, well, that's strange. He's never said that to us before, you know. And this was the first inkling to us that the Great One was finishing up his work here on this earth plane. He let go many, many hints. And there have been a lot of his disciples who have seen before Master left, he came and he told them certain things. You see. And, well, we just knew it. But we carried on like nothing ever would interfere with his lifespan here on earth. First of all, we heard that some other so-called saint had said that our beloved was going to stay in the physical coil for 120 years. See? But looking at our beloved and seeing the work night and day and day and night and day, they were ever pressing upon his physical strength. It was beyond human endurance. Only a God could have taken what he did. Not only that, but who? I said that all the great masters, all the great saints were crucified. One was nailed to a cross. One was boiled in oil. One had his joints cut off, joint by joint. Another was buried. They were buried alive. Another one, he gave his head. And so forth and so on. Our beloved, we crucified him with our cosmos. We promised him. We took initiation and we promised to keep his commandments. And what did we do? And he kept on forgiving us and bearing our errors on his body. That's how we crucified him. And at the last, when he sat down and he refused to stay away, and he insisted upon giving us darshan, he would go, "Oh, oh, oh." And whose heart wouldn't break to see that? But when you're not looking at it, you don't feel it. If you don't wear the shoe that pinches, how do you know if the feet are hurting? But a lot of us take initiation, and then what do? Grind it into the mud, the very sacred thing. He says, it is the greatest gift given to man, is this connection. The Nam, the Razul, the Ruby, the Pearl of Great Price. And we turn our backs on it. Well, we had to go in to see our holiness another time. And I said, "Beloved, you may peruse this letter at your leisure." And Master looked at me and he says, "What? I have no leisure. I have no leisure time." Well, we would meet Beloved on Beloved's porch every evening about 6:00. And everyone, Indians alike, they would come to have his fragrance of darshan. His illness was beginning to become more prevalent. He would thrash around all night long. The ones who would be pressing him, they call it pressing, they press his body. And they would come and tell us, "Master had a very poor night. He was thrashing all night long." He would come into his children's circle and he would be wreathed in smiles, although the pain was so great and he could hardly walk, and he was walking, pressing himself. He would be wreathed in smiles looking upon his children. And the love that gushed forth was enough to drench our souls in joy forever. We were very fortunate, we who had the opportunity to be with him, with his last minutes in his physical body. The love that he brought forth this time, the power and the essence. People were, or the Indians, when they would go up, they were dropping like flies all over the place in samadhi. His power was so great. Beloved, he would relate many stories to bring points of truthful understanding to his children. So great was the radiation at this time that his dear ones sat with tear-laden eyes overspilling down their cheeks, all of them. He used to tell us how they used to come. And I remember when I went there long, long time ago, the first trip I went to India, they used to come and follow Master like this. That's how they used to do, because they wanted to catch all the spirituality, you see. Then later on we hear people, I talk to Master like he's my brother. And I look at him and I say, yeah, but the difference is he is not your brother. He is your father, your Godguru, your master, your lord. And don't let your love transcend your respect. Just remember that. Well, like that, you know. Plenty of them crying and sobbing. I said, well, so what did you do? I think we Westerners are much better off than a lot of you Indian people then. Because we had to fight for it. And you ran in every time. Every time the gate was open, you would be running in and getting physical darshan. And Master said that the only true work a satsangi can do is to go in and do his devotional duties. That's the only work that is his. And all the rest, whatever we do, however we serve one another, and our work in offices and on the streets, is God's work. He'll get work out of everybody. And our only true work is when we sit with him, because that's the only thing that belongs to us. Nothing else does. Beloved was talking about this beautiful story to bring a point home of how the wisdom of the master and the disciple, he tells you how to get free of the cage of the physical, causal, and mental. So he told this story that there once was a pigeon kept in a cage, and he wanted to get free. Now he's really relating to the soul, you see. So he asked another pigeon who was outside how he got free. So he told him that when his master came, he should lie on the floor as though in a faint, and that he needed some air. And master was chuckling. It was beautiful to see the twinkle in master's eyes at these times, you know. So when his master came, he fell in a faint on the bottom of the cage. So his master reached in, and he took him out, and he put them on the ground to get some air. And no sooner had the master done this, the pigeon took off and flew away. In other words, if we get...